If you love Italian football, you're in the right place. Destination Calcio, your daily dose of culture and culture. And over the weekend, our guys were in Naples, Udine and Padova. Everything from the Serie A league leaders to the Serie C Veneto derby. I'm David Farini. Let me introduce you to our DC panel, Emmett Gates. Thank you for joining on this Monday morning.
Always a pleasure, David. Always a pleasure. A good weekend of Italian football action. So, yeah, happy to be back on the pod.
Great. We had a nice Friday night. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Also, a new member, Harry Slavin. We sent him on his first assignment. Harry, tell us a little bit about it. Introduce yourself to the viewers and the listeners.
Hello. Yes, I am Harry. It is a pleasure to be here, finally, on the podcast and to be joining. And I did. I managed to make it out to Naples over the weekend, and it was a brilliant eye-opener into Italian football, beautiful city, beautiful food, and lots of excitement down there at the moment with what Conte and Napoli are doing, sitting pretty on top of the table at the moment.
Yeah, Antonio Conte, Emmett, we were there in Verona to see him lose 3-0. Since then, undefeated, and it's been a total reversal in the newspapers. It was Napoli in crisis. How long was he going to last? Harry was there to see the win over Como on the weekend. You were there to see the win over Bologna. In your opinion, what's changed here for Napoli to soar back up?
Yeah, well, I think the signings were a major part in that. Obviously, David, when we went on the first weekend of the season to see them against Verona, there was no Romelu Lukaku, there was no Scott McTominay, there was no David Neres, there was no Billy Gilmore. And we talked about this at the time. You could see, if memory serves, Jacopo Raspadori was up front. And you could see that Conte needed a strong centre-forward type, a player in the mould of Lukaku. And then, you know, after that, the days after that Verona game, I think Lukaku signed that week because it was the final week of the transfer window. Lukaku came in and that's brought Napoli a bit of structure, hold up play, linking with other players. And obviously Lukaku's a much better goal scorer than Raspadori or Simeone. So I think the signings have played a key part. And also because Conte had more time to work with the players that he had. You know, Conte famously loves to basically just play one game a week. That's why he doesn't really do that well in cup competitions, because of the midweek fixtures generally throw him off. So a lot of his teams, there's a stylized pattern of play, but he loves the one game a week. And yeah, I think he basically just needed new signings, and he's got them. And now you're seeing Napoli now top of the table, unbeaten since that opening weekend against Verona. So I think, yeah, the signings have played a massive part in Napoli's early season success.
And what is the Premier League's loss is Serie A's gain. Harry, you were there to see it just 30 seconds into the match against Como. Scott McTominay, you've just written a piece on destinationculture.com. One of your first that you've contributed, and it's great to see, great to read. We put it out this morning, a Monday morning special. Scott McTominay is a man in a hurry as he makes his mark at Napoli. You've focused on his Scottish heritage there, and you've gone back in and had a look at the connections to Naples. The Scots, like yourself, for those who don't know, Harry hails from the Great Lands. Tell us a little bit about what you made of McTominay's impact and how you've seen his arrival in Naples. Is it a la Diego-esque?
Oh, I don't think anyone is ever going to live up to Diego. I think that goes without saying. And I think the people in Napoli will very much feel that way as well. They'll tell you that Maradona is obviously a demigod, and you can go into bars there where they've got strands of his hair in a shrine. And I don't think Scott McTominay is, no matter what he does, will ever quite reach that level of fame in Naples. But they have really taken to him, and he's taken to them as well. I think his energy on the pitch has certainly endeared him to the fans. Obviously, he was in a position over the summer where I don't think Manchester United made any bones about making him available to leave. Fulham and West Ham were sniffing around as well, but Conte really wanted him, and had an idea for him in his squad, and now that he's come in, obviously one of two Scots from the Billy Gilmore as well, McTominay is the one that has come straight into the squad and Conte has made room for. It's interesting to see, obviously, from a Scottish perspective, we know very well that he has an eye for goal, and I think his ability going forward is something that Conte really wants to look to capitalise on when they line up, especially when they're looking to go a little more direct. It almost appears that Napoli will play with the front two, and you can see him side by side alongside Lukaku, the pair of them looking to play off each other, and that's how they got their joy in the opening 26 seconds when Lukaku had the ball and was able to play in McTominay. I enjoyed from Il Mattino as well describing McTominay's battle with the defender Alberto De Senna, saying that he blew him away like the wolf from the first little pig's house to grab his goal inside 26 seconds. So they are very excited by him. I think as well he has a good teammate inside the midfield as well. Stanislav Lobotka was one of the bright spots last season and what was a pretty forgettable season for Napoli. And this season again, he seems to be playing like a machine. Cesc Fabregas touched on that during his press conference after the game. He was saying, "Dear me, give me 11 of Lobotkas. I could watch him play all day." And they do seem to have, with the transfers that they've got in and Emmett's just touched on, a team that can be capable of challenging for the title, although no one in Napoli will dare say that just yet. But Conte went out and spent a lot of money, and they have this free week in the sense of they don't have European competitions to go at compared to the rest of their rivals. And that could, in the long term, stand them in good stead.
Sure. Emmett, any chance of a Scott McTominay cake in Naples? A la Romelu Lukaku or Victor Osimhen, we've seen those.
Yeah, I mean, you never know if McTominay plays a huge part in potentially, you know, Napoli's fourth ever Scudetto, then there could be murals, cakes, pizzas. You never know, David. You know what the Neapolitans are like when it comes to their idols. There's nothing they won't do for them.
Absolutely. Harry went to the Cicciotto Amarecchiato restaurant on the weekend. It's a hot spot for the Napoli players over the years. Spalletti there with Fabio Cannavaro just about a week ago from the reports on social media. So good to see Posillipo is still the hot spot there for all the Neapolitans, the former greats. Emmett, you also wrote on Como and Napoli on the weekend. Take us through your thoughts. There's a couple of, I won't say unearthed gems, because Nico Paz was unearthed at Real Madrid last season. Take us through your article on destinationculture.com.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, David, we watched the match together in London at Di Maria's restaurant in Notting Hill Gate. And for the listeners, would definitely recommend going there, especially during a Napoli game. It can get a bit crazy, bit boisterous, so would definitely recommend it if you live in and around London.
And we've got the social media up on Twitter at the moment, so for those of you who want to meet Pasquale, their owner, he's some character, isn't he? He even sings a tune at the end of that video, so make sure you get on Twitter and our socials and have a look. But Emmett, sorry to interrupt, go on.
But me and you both agreed that Como, actually, for a large portion of the game, were actually the better team. After McTominay's goal, we kind of thought Napoli are kind of, you know, the floodgates could open here. But Como got into the game and slowly but surely built up, you know, momentum. And for large portions of the game, they were the better team. Obviously, Nico Paz was instrumental in that. You know, he was drifting in between the lines, in between defence and midfield, picking up the ball, orchestrating play. You know, Gabriel Strafezza hit a rocket of a shot, you know, that went into the net. Nico Paz hit the post from the same kind of position as Strafezza, only it hit the inside of the post and went out. But I was very impressed with Como. You know, there was the opportunity for Napoli to get 2-3-4 after scoring the first goal in 25 seconds. But Como impressed me, and I think Nico Paz, if Como's going to survive this year, I think Nico Paz will have a lot to do with it. You know, I think out of all the attacking players, he's clearly the best. Signed from Real Madrid in the summer for around 6 million. Just got his first call up to the Argentina national setup alongside Messi and Dybala and Lautaro. But he is a very bright talent, and I think he will go places. He's not particularly quick. He reminds me in shades of Dybala, all left foot, happy to cut inside. But as Fabregas said, you know, he saw him last season for Real Madrid's youth team, Castilla. He brought him in, gave him a 4-year contract. The only thing is, I think what I've read is that Madrid have a buyback clause, and they also get 50% of the sell-on fee. But you would like to think that if he keeps up the way he's grown, because Cesc basically said that he expected him to grow after 2 or 3 months, but he's skipped hurdles already, given how well he's playing. So yeah, I was very impressed with Como, especially Paz and Strafezza. And yeah, like again, with the win over Atalanta, I definitely think Como, you know, people went into this season not really knowing what Como were about and what they could do. But from what I've seen, I definitely think they will survive comfortably. I don't really see much difficulty come the springtime. But I do think Nico Paz will be central to the Como surviving.
Yeah, they've definitely come a long way over the past month, Como, especially. So it's about that first win, isn't it? After that, you can build confidence and you can move forward. There was a couple of wins in a row. There was that unlucky draw at home, 2-0 ahead against Bologna, which we were there to cover last month. And now Cesc Fabregas going to the Maradona to take on the league leaders, won the Scudetto, you know, less than 18 months ago. It is a team with a bit of pedigree now, Napoli, and to come up from the Serie B, it's just a huge task to go to these stadiums. We're there for the Juventus game away at the Allianz Stadium as well, Emma. And Como, you can see their ascent. They've got their wits about them now. And then going out there, they're a lot braver. The way they reacted against Napoli was quite impressive. And that's when I made that comment to you, as we were there sitting amongst all the Napoli supporters. Even they were, you know, sign of the cross. They were worried about it when Nico Paz hit the post. There was a few choice swear words there, which you might pick up one or two in the video. But yeah, Pasquale, he was relieved after the match. Dumeria is a great place to watch it for Napoli fans based in London. We were there to watch the Genoa fans in the derby against Sampdoria. Let's move away just from the football being kicked on the park. Harry, in Naples, your first time, yes?
It was, yes. Very first time.
You tell us a little about your experience. Also, because we cover travel and culture here and we want people to get to these stadiums, tell us about your experience getting to Italy. And be honest, you don't have to, you know, have to be a puff piece about how great Naples is. Tell us about any issues you had, what stood out to you, any favourite meal, a special meal.
Special meals as well. Well, just in general, I don't think, and I'm showing my colours a little bit, but as a Newcastle United fan, I know about one club cities and know how much a football team can mean when there's only one of them there. But Naples and Napoli is on another level entirely, and you cannot walk the streets for references to the football team, to Maradona. There are murals everywhere, there are banners in the street, there are shirts on sale absolutely everywhere, there are kids roaming around in shirts. It is the identity of the city. And really, especially on a match day, from the first time you walk out your hotel door, you can feel the buzz, you can feel the anticipation, and the city just lives and breathes it. As you pointed on earlier on, I got down to the coast, and one of the things possibly that getting further out of Napoli maybe isn't the easiest, especially when you are used to living in London and maybe getting a bus every 5-10 minutes. They aren't quite as frequent, but I managed to make it down to Cicciotto Maria Carey. And the views down there are incredible. The location of it, you can see exactly why it's such a firm favourite, with the likes of Luciano Spalletti, with Antonio Conte and the team as well. You speak to the staff there, and they absolutely love it as well. And as soon as you mention Scorsese, the first thing they mention is obviously McTominay. The owner there, Vincenzo, is getting his phone out saying, and showing me the picture of Scott having visited just 2 days earlier. So it's obviously a place that the footballers are recommended as well, and they know to go, they know they're going to get looked after. I think that's just the same in absolutely any restaurant or any bar that they would step foot in that city, because they are, once you pull on that shirt, you are to an extent a heightened individual. Not quite demigod, but you're definitely put on a pedestal. They're extremely, they're passionate, they're excited, just really happy to have people down there, and they will tell you all the stories. I think they were telling me that Dries Mertens signed his contract in the restaurant as well, in broken English. But yeah, just anything to do around football, they want to talk to you about. Just around the rest of the city, there is a buzz, but the food as well down there, cannot recommend enough. Catches of the day, fresh fish, you're right on the seafront as well. The views to match are spectacular.
The Bay of Naples, spectacular indeed. So we recommend for people to go there. Harry, what are the chances of Cicciotto or any Napoli restaurant adding a special Scott McTominay dedicated haggis dish?
Whoa, haggis dish. Well, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to think if he helps them to another Scudetto, then I think they'd be more than happy to put a bit of haggis on a pizza. I'm not sure it's been done before. You'd just call it the McTominay pizza, put a bit of haggis on it, maybe serve it with a bit of iron brew, and that'd be one way. If he can score a couple of goals to take them on their way this season to some kind of silverware, then I'm sure Neapolitans and any people going to visit would happily eat that up.
Yeah, well, he's already scored against Palermo and now against Como. Let's see how he goes for the rest of the season. Maybe he gets a bag of 10 all up in all competitions, Ari. They've got to do something.
Oh, they could sort out a whole breakfast menu. You could put a bit of black pudding on there, a little bit of Lawrence sausage, potato scones as well. I know they're big on there. They do still like to deep fry stuff in Naples as well, with your arancini bowls and your deep fried pasta bowls as well. So maybe they could dip back into the deep fried market as well. But there's plenty of crossover there. I'm not surprised McTominay is finding himself at home. He spoke to DAZN afterwards, and he thanked the fans. It does seem that he's absolutely loving life out there, and he was giving away his shirt afterwards. When he's been round seeing the sights, he's staying down on the port front as well at the moment, and I think he's really embracing it, and he's receiving the love back. So who knows? It could be a match made in heaven. We'll see how he goes for the rest of the season.
We will, and again, I'll reiterate, a couple of pieces, one by Harry Slaven, one by Emma Gates on Napoli and Como over the weekend. Scott McTominay, the talk at the town. Let's see how he goes in the international break with Scotland. Speaking of that, we're going to follow Italy throughout the next couple of weeks, taking on Belgium and Israel, the Olympico and the Blue Energy. Dan Cancian was at the Blue Energy on Saturday, covering Udinese and Lecce. Then he went couple of hours away. He was based in Padua for the weekend, covering the Serie C derby, the Venetian derby of Padua Vicenza. Big game at the Padua home stadium there at the Il Ganeo. So we're going to hear from Dan later this week. Let's just touch upon Naples for a couple more minutes. Emmett, we were there in August and we were at the Murales Maradona. Look, fantastic time of the year to go in August. We're there. We recorded a pod. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, jump on our YouTube channel, DCTV, and have a look at that one. Spoke to a few of the locals there, took it all in. I know that you love it. Tell us a bit about your favorite murals around that area. We also went to the Maradona Museum, which they've just opened up a couple of months ago. There's a special one dedicated to Diego himself. Do you have a special kit there that you liked inside the museum?
I mean, there was a lot of good stuff inside the museum. I would say the Life is Life jacket, you know, that he wore against the warm-up jacket that he did the video in, or the videos went viral in the UEFA Cup semi-final against Bayern in 1989. I think that was like, knowing that was the jacket, and it was folded because it was way too big for him, and you can still see the crease after, what, 35 years. That was probably the standout item, I think, in the museum.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of my favourites. Boots were there, and they had half of his wardrobe. It was explained to us that a lot of his belongings that he left in Naples, he just took off. It was that you know, a bit of conjecture in his life, a bit of trepidation. He had to get out of the town, and he left a couple of wardrobes there, and they were able to dismantle the wardrobes. It went to a private family. They've now donated it to the Maradona Museum. I mean, it's debatable how much that collection is worth. Just next to it is the Morales Maradona. Harry, did you get there over the weekend?
Do you know what? Sadly, I did not, because I was so determined to get myself to the coast and to go visit Chichoto. But what I will say is that I did have a heads up on a few other places to visit as well, with a lot. A big thanks to Vincenzo from Calcio Napoli 24, who pointed me out in direction, and my favourite location was I went to Bar Nilo in the middle, just off Via Nilo. And it is this tiny, tiny little shrine made by the owner. His name's Bruno, and he was on a flight in 1986 that Maradona so happened to be on as well. And when he got a picture with them, and as they were coming off the flight, they saw that his some of his hair had fell on the seat. So he's picked this up, he's taken it with him, and what started as a joke with his friends has turned into a shrine with a tiny little box that has Maradona's hair in it, which is on rotation 24 hours a day inside this bar, and is well visited. So that, I think, just sums up just how revered this man is, that people will come from all corners of the earth to see a few strands of hair. And there's a few other bits in there as well, a wonderful, especially from a Scottish persuasion, a wonderful mural to the Hand of God as well. So I would very much recommend going to see the artwork in there as well. But there's no corner you can turn in that city without seeing some form of dedication to Maradona. It is fascinating to see.
Yeah, it is an open-air shrine to the great man himself. The stadium is now named after him since his passing. Emmett, I'm not sure if that hair is legitimate, because I remember you there a few years back, and I've got an inkling that you might have stolen that hair from Bar Nilo. Is that right? And a couple of toenail clippings?
Yeah, I actually have it at home now in my altar.
Well, next time we visit Emmett's place, yeah, we'll raid the safe, see what else he's got in there. I'd hate to know what toys he's got lying around. But look, let's get to the next pod that we're going to bring up, which is going to be focused on the Azzurri. They're off to a great start in the Nations League. Luciano Spalletti, the former Napoli coach, is at the helm there. Two wins from two in the Nations League. Let's see what he does against Belgium and Israel. We're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining Destination Calcio. Go to the website, go to the socials.
Pleasure.
Cheers, David.